Okay, nice to be back. We are starting Masechet Chagiga. Okay, the very last Masechet in Moed. We're going to finish Moed by in about a month. And then we get started on Nashim. Yevamo, Ketubot. Okay, so now we're going to start with the Mishnah. Before we start with the Mishnah, I want to give a little background. Okay, what's Chagiga? Chagiga is Korban Chagiga. But here they discuss a bunch of different things. We're going to make some Seder before we start. I brought some psukim on the sheet to get started. There's three mitzvot that we're going to talk about that relate to the Chagim. So the first one is Re'iyah. That's where the Mishnah starts off with. Hakol Chayivim B'Re'iyah. Okay? We're going to discuss exactly what Re'iyah means. Then there's what's called Chagiga. And then there's what's called Shalmei Simcha. Okay, there's three different types of korbanot that we're going to talk about, and mitzvot. There might even be more than three mitzvot. There's Re'iyah, Chagiga, and Simcha. We'll call it that, and then we'll talk about how they relate and what they are exactly. So Re'iyah means a few different things. And the question is, are they all the same? Are they different? Is it one mitzvah? Is it one mitzvah? Is it two different mitzvot? There's Re'iyah Pnei Ha'azahav. Okay, so that's going to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, that's the pasuk here I put on the sheet from Shmo Perek Kavkim on pasuk Yudzayin. Shalosh pamim b'shana yera'eh kol zechuchat p'nei Adon Hashem. It's a very familiar pasuk, or the next one also. There's even a third, I didn't bring them all. In Devarim Tetzayin Tetzayin. Shalosh pamim b'shana yera'eh kol zechuchat p'nei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar b'chag matzo b'chag ha-shavuot b'chag sukkot. And here's the important part of it. V'lo yera'eh et p'nei Hashem reikam. Now what does that mean? You can't see God empty-handed. So what does empty-handed mean? What do you have to bring with you?
Something.
So we don't know what that something is, okay? The assumption is going to be, okay, so there's Re'iyah Pnei Ha'azahav, and then there's what's called Olat Re'iyah. Okay, so according to the most of the Mefarshim, the issue is you bring Korbanot. Okay, you bring a Korban, you bring a Korban Ola. What's a Korban Ola? It all goes up to Shemayim, you don't need any of it. That's the Ola, right? That's why it's called an Ola, it goes up. So the assumption is there's either two parts to the same mitzvah or there's two different mitzvah. One is to see the azara, and one is to bring a korban olah. That's one aspect. In addition, there's another aspect of Re'iyah, which I wanted to bring. If you skip down after these four psukim I brought on the sheet, I brought the Sifrei and Dvarim. Okay, now most of the sources we're going to see in the Bavli talk about the chiyuv of Re'iyah being korban. Olat Re'iyah. Okay, and we're going to see in Rashi, talks about Re'iyah Pnei Ha'azara. You have to see the Beit HaMikdash, the inside of the Azara. But there's a Tana'itic source that doesn't appear in the Bavli that's very interesting. So in the Sifrei and Dvarim, Midrash Halacha says, V'lo yere'e et Pnei Hashem Rekam. That's the Pasuk. And now what does it say? Min HaTzdeka. Okay, the Chiyuv of Olat Re'iyah is Tzdeka. Of Re'iyah, not Olat Re'iyah. I got confused. The third option is that we're tying back. You have to come to the Beit HaMikdash and bring tzedakah. Okay, it doesn't exactly say who the tzedakah is going to, but that there's a chiyuv of tzedakah, and that's part of the chiyuv of the regel. Now, we won't see this in the Bavli, but I wanted you to know that it exists, okay? That there's different Tanaitic sources that discuss what this Re'iyah is. So there's Re'iyah Pnei Ha'azahav, the Ola, the Korban, or tzedakah.
And that's okay? All based on the fact that it says Re'ikah, that you have
yes,
to bring something.
Yes, exactly. You have to bring
so the
something.
Something is not.
Exactly.
There.
So the something is either a korban or it's the tzedakah. Okay? Now, the Re'iyah Pnei Ha'azahav might be a separate thing, right? In other words, there is Yera'eh Kol Zechuchah. There it doesn't even mention Re'ikam. And even the beginning of that pasuk, three times a year, every male, okay, we're going to see also, it's going to be clear, it's only male and females are not obligated. Yera'eh Kol Zechuchah Pnei Hashem, right? And then, V'lo Yera'eh Pnei Hashem Re'ikam, it's almost like these are maybe two separate things. The Rambam counts them all as one mitzvah, but some people look at them as two separate things. And then, when you have two separate things, so again, one is going to the Beit HaMikdash, and one is what you're bringing with you. And what you're bringing with you, again, we're going to see all the sources we're going to see talk about Korban. But, like I said, the Tanaitic sources bring up also that maybe there was a school of thought that it was Tzedakah and not Korban. So, just to put on the side. We're going to see something in the... I'll read for a second, and you can ask me. If you read the rest of the Sifrei, I debated what order to read this in. If we read the whole Mishnah, you'd see that the end of our Mishnah has a Machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, which appears here in the Sifrei, which is Beit Shammai Yomrim HaRe'iyah Shtei Kesef V'Simcha Me'a Kesef. There's a different opinion about how much you have to bring, what's the value. So, In our Mishnah, the assumption is, the way our Gemara explains it, is the value of the korban that you're buying. But it actually makes a lot more sense if you're saying a value, since when do we put a value on what, how much the animal has to be worth? Right? Usually we don't see that. So it makes much more sense to say that that machloket is based on understanding that tzedakah. What did you want to ask?
I was going to say one is an essay and one is a lota essay.
Below your ad, yafet. That's also a negative, right? Don't come empty-handed. Yafet. I didn't see a to that, but it's interesting that you say that.
Rabbi Monk, we did that.
He talked. Oh, okay. So
the other thing
about.
You pointed out, was, in terms of grammar, lo yera isn't lo yera. It's not to see. It's you should be seen. I don't know whether you're
right. So we're gonna. The Gemara actually is gonna get into that. Also, there's a kri and chtiv. There's the way it appears, like yera, and then there's yera. One is to see, and one is to be seen. Okay. The next thing we're gonna see is in Shmo Perek Yubet. So that's the ri'iyah. Now we're gonna get to chagiga. There's no real source for korban chagiga in the Torah. But if there's an allusion to it, okay? In Shmo Perek Yubet, Pasuk Yudalit, V'haya hayom hazeh lechem lezikaron v'chagotem oto chag l'Hashem l'dorotechem. Chukat olam techaguhu. And the assumption is, what is a chag? It must be a korban. How are you chogeg? By bringing a korban. And that's a korban chagiga. Now we're going to see that there's a debate about this korban chagiga. Is it an obligation? We're going to see this later in the Gemara today. Is it an obligation on the first day? And then this is what we've talked about all along when we talk about tashlumin. We've learned in the past about making up a korban, and that's what we said on Shavuot, even though it's only one day, you still have 7 days because we learn it out from the other chagim. So the issue of the chagiga is it a chiyuv on the first day, and then you have the rest of the 7 days because not everybody could bring their korban the first day. So you have the rest of the chag to make up for it if you didn't bring it the first day. Or is an obligation every single day of the chag? And just if you didn't, you know, you could, if you didn't do it the first day, you could do it the second day. If you didn't do it the second day, you could do it the third day. But your chiyuv is chal every day of the chag, and you can just choose whichever day you want to do it on. So there's going to be a very important nafkamina that we're going to get to, which is if for some reason you're putcher on the first day, but you're chayav on the second day, then would you end up having to do your chagiga? Because if you say that your korban chagiga is only the first day, you're obligated, and the other days are just making up for it, well, if you weren't obligated on the first day, then you're not obligated to make up for it. But if you say every day of the chag, you're supposed to bring korban chagiga, but you just need to do it once in the chag, whenever you choose, then if you're obligated in the if you're exempt the first day and obligated the second day, then you'll have to bring your korban. Okay, and what's the difference between this chagiga and the ri'iyah? The chagiga is a shlamim, and the ri'iyah is an ola. What's a shlamim? A shlamim is, it's split in three. Part gets burned on the mizbeach, part goes to the kohen, and part you eat yourself. In addition to the chagiga, there's this concern that we want you, v'samachta b'chagecha. Okay, that I also brought on the sheet, but we all know the pasuk, v'samachta b'chagecha. You have to be happy on the holiday. What is simcha? Simcha is meat. But meat isn't just eating meat. Like nowadays, we just eat meat and have wine, and you know, they say the obligation, once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so then the obligation became different for women. It's buying clothes and jewelry, and it's a different obligation. But v'samachta b'chagecha is the chiyuv in the time of the Beit HaMikdash is to bring korbanot that you can eat meat. In other words, don't just eat meat, but bring it as a sacrifice. So that's what's called shalmei simcha. Okay, so again, they're obviously a shlamim because the whole point is to eat them. And that's something that if you don't have, let's say, leftover meat from your chagiga, then you bring shalmei simcha just to be eating. Okay? So that's another chiyuv. So we're going to talk about all these three chiyuvim. The Mishnah starts out with hakol chayavim b'ri'iyah. From the pshat of the Mishnah, it seems like they're only talking about ri'iyah. We're going to see by the end of today's daf that they're going to end up reading the Mishnah in a different way and saying that the Mishnah is one of these chisur machasur v'hachi katani, which means, oh, there's all these words missing in the Mishnah, and really this is what the Mishnah meant. And that really the Mishnah is talking about both ri'iyah and simcha. But we're going to get to that at the very end of today.
I was going to ask you that because if he ties the duck back to the ri'iyah, then the ver v'itom v'amana makes sense. But the shami simcha has to be in a method of tzedakah so that you include the people.
Okay, except that the simcha is not the ri'iyah. It's two different. You're saying if they're intertwined.
Yeah.
If you look up. So I don't know that they're intertwined. They're not intertwined. They're separate. They're totally separate because this is also, right. Maybe you could say that conceptually the whole idea of this whole picture, we have a picture of bringing sacrifices, bring tzedakah so people can have food to eat. You could say they're all intertwined. But they're considered separate mitzvot. But you could say that there are mitzvot that affect one another, and therefore the re'iyah being stuck, it makes sense so that people can have food to eat on the chag, mm-hmm. which definitely makes a lot of sense. And then I see, that's why you're saying, which is interesting, that really the re'iyah and the simcha are more connected rather than the chagiga.
Right. I mean, that would also relate to the debate in terms of Shammai and Hillel, in terms of their Riyat Olam, how they see it.
Right, which is more valuable. Right, so we're going to get to the machloka. We'll talk about when we get there, about which is more important. Is it you're going to spend more money on what you give to God, or you spend more money on what you're eating for yourself? Okay, so let's start now with the Mishnah. Hakol chayavim b'ri'iyah. Oh, I just want to give a little background, especially to those who are new, but even to those who've been here before, about the way I organize the sheets. So I play with fonts so that you can see the difference between sources that are Tana'i. Okay, Tana'i, we're talking about time of the Mishnah, from about the year 0 to 200, give or take. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi puts together the Mishnah in the year 200. Not only that, there's also the Tosefta, which was put together by Rabbi Chiya. There's also Braito, which are things that never made it into a book, but are quoted in the Gemara all the time. There's here, I brought the Sifrei Dvarim, that's the Midrash Halacha, which was also from the time of the Tana'im. There's all sorts of sources that were around in the time of the Tana'im. In fact, I mentioned at the end of Moed Katan, there was this B'Sefer Avel, I forgot what they call it, Avel Rabbati maybe, also a Tana'itic source. There are all sorts of sources that are Tana'itic. The Gemara quotes them all the time, and they always have higher status, so they're much more powerful, they're stronger. If an Emara can't say something that disagrees with a Tana'itic source, okay, we'll play a little bit with that today. We'll see this issue where an Emara says something, and we try to explain the Mishnah in a way, and we say, but the Mishnah doesn't make sense according to the Emara's understanding, and you can't have an Emara not work out well with the Mishnah. So I put those in this kind of font, okay? You can see HaKol Chayavim B'ri'iyah, that's the font where I put the Tana'itic sources. The sources that are more like a handwritten, the handwritten font is the Psukim from the Tanakh, okay? I just chose that because it stands out more. And then someone once complained, why do you use more handwritten for the Torah? Anyway, and then the regular font is the Gemara. Okay, so then you can see, like in the middle, they're going to quote a Tana'itic source, and then you can kind of see the different layers using the sheets. Hakol chayavim b'ri'iyah chutz mi'cheresh shoteh v'katan v'tumtum v'androgynus v'nashim v'avadim she'enam mishufarim. Okay, let's stop here for a minute because we'll see there. It's split into categories. Everybody's obligated in Riyah. It's very interesting. Everybody's obligated except for a really long list of people. Okay? So the Gemara is going to jump on that a little bit and say why they use the Lashon of Kol Chayavim B'Riyah. We have this in Megillah, by the way. Kol Chayavim B'Kriyat Megillah Chutz Mi. Right? I think also Cheresh Shoteh Katan. Okay. So Kol Chayavim B'Riyah Chutz Mi Cheresh Shoteh Katan. Okay? These three are in a category, and we're going to deal with exactly what kind of Cheresh we're talking about. We'll get to that today also. A deaf person, a person who doesn't have intelligence, okay, has mental issues, and a katan, and a small child. Okay, all these people are considered in the same category. They're enam bar da'at. They don't have a developed brain, in which case they're patur from mitzvot in general. So therefore, they'd also be patur from re'iyah. V'tumtum v'androgynus. Okay, tumtum is someone who doesn't have simanim of zachar or nekeva, and an androgynous where they're covered up. And androgynous has signs of both. V'nashim v'avadim she'enam mishucharim. Okay? These tumtum v'androgynus are always in the safek category, where we put them. So here they're considered not part of the obligation. Nashim and avadim she'enam mishucharim. Okay? Women and slaves that are not freed, meaning, remember we had this issue, you have an eved who's an eved kanani. Okay? He becomes an eved kanani. It's not like now if somebody has somebody who works for them, lives in their house even, right? That person lived in their house. He had to have a brit milah. He became a pseudo-Yehudi. He was chayav mitzvot, but he's patur from mitzvot aseh shazman grama, just like women are. Okay, again, the issue with women being patur, nobody really knows what the reason is. Is it because their time isn't their own, because they were busy with all the household chores? Would it be different today, now that women are, not like we're totally free from those things, but women do lots of other things, and then becomes a question. Nobody really says that they're actually obligated, but people do try to have a different approach to it, and we talked about this in the past also, in the 1200s in Ashkenaz, also a whole big debate started because women started to be more active also in Christian circles and affected the Ashkenazi communities, and women started taking upon mitzvot, and they had to have a whole question, are women allowed to make a bracha on mitzvot they're patur from? Are they allowed to do all sorts of mitzvot that they're, right, where tefillin and tzitzit and things like that come up? Okay, different opinions about all these things. Okay, So that's Nashim Vavadim Shenam Shacharim. Now we have a new category. So there's three. They don't have dad. The next category is, these are people in general who are patur from mitzvot aseh shazman grama for, we don't know exactly the reason. Hachiger v'hasuma v'hachole v'hazaken u'mi she'eno yachol la'alot b'raglav. Now we have all these people who have trouble getting to the Beit HaMikdash, or they can't see. So the can't seeing, that's the suma, he's blind. That makes sense, because it's a chiyuv of ri'iyah. So you can't fulfill your obligation of seeing God. Obviously, nobody sees God, but at least seeing the Beit HaMikdash, you can't. It's ri'iyah. It's based on vision. Normally, a suma is not patur from all the mitzvot. There's things yes, things no. A chigir is someone who has an issue with his leg. Okay, can't walk so well. There's different opinions exactly what the issue is with his leg, but some sort of problem with his leg. A sick person is a kain, and anyone who can't physically go to Yerushalayim, or it's difficult for him. Is it, okay, now we get to the defining what's a katan. Because a katan, even though nowadays we have this issue of bar mitzvah and an age, in those days there wasn't such an age category. And even if you say there was, there's still an obligation of chinuch on the parent, on the father usually, at a certain age to, there's chiyuv midrabanan for the kid to do mitzvot in order to teach him mitzvot. So now what's the issue? There's going to be a machloket. Eizu katan. Kol she'eino yachol lirkov al ktefav shel aviv ulalot Yerushalayim lahar habayit. Divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says as soon as you're old enough to go on your father's shoulders, and therefore you can get to Yerushalayim in that way, then you're chayav. Beit Hillel omrim, no. If you're too young if you go on his shoulders. Maybe he had rachmanut on the people's backs carrying their children. Kol she'eino yachol le'echoz biyado shel aviv ulalot Yerushalayim lahar habayit. She'ne'emar shalosh rigalim. It says rigalim. It means you have to walk with your feet. So, if you can't walk with your feet, then you're patur. As soon as you can walk with your own feet, you are chayav. Now we're moving to a different machlok, and this is what we mentioned before, which is what's the value of the chiyuv of riyah. So we finished with the categories of the people who are patur. Now we're going to get into what's the value and what's the difference between riyah and chagiga. Beit Shammai omrim ha-riyah shtei kesef, v'chagiga me'a kesef. Okay, shtei kesef is a third of a dinar, and me'a kesef is one kesef instead of two, and it's a sixth of a dinar. Okay, so Beit Shammai puts the emphasis on the ri'iyah, on the ola, the one that goes straight up to God. That one is more, you should spend more money on. Beit Hillel omrim exactly the opposite. Ha-ri'iyah me'a kesef, ha-chagiyah shtei ha-kesef. Okay. The first question of the Gemara is going to be this first line, ha-kol chayavim b'ri'iyah. Now you could say this is a typical structure of the Mishnah, like we have with Megillah. Everyone's chayav in Megillah except for. Other people say, no, there's other places where it says, for example, it talks in Brachot about that women are patur from Kriyat Shema and from, right, some of those, they're chayavot in the tefillah, or it could have been worded just who's patur. Didn't have to say everyone is chayav except for. So the assumption of the Gemara is, if it says everyone is chayav, it must be to include someone who wasn't originally included, okay? Someone who you wouldn't think of. Someone who you would have thought was exempt and now is included. So what's that? Hakol atuyemai. What does it come to bring? So now we're going to see, if you look at the chart, there's going to be three different answers. In the end, they're going to go back to and suggest that maybe there's three different answers. Each one has some sort of problem, or the third one, I don't know if it's exactly a problem or just like a point they make about it. And then they're going to go back to the first answer and kind of answer it up, how we can make it work. So we're going to end up with a few options, but some of them are going to be rejected. Hakol atuyemai. What does it come to include? La'atuyeh misha chetzio eve v'chetzio ben chorim. What did we say? A slave that's not freed is patur. But what if he's half free and half slave? What does it mean, half free, half slave? Two people own a slave. One frees his slave and the other doesn't free his slave. Now, this is a big issue because he's part eved and part not eved. And we're going to see soon, we're going to get to it, well, Mishnah, which discussed this, Machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. In the end, Beit Shammai convinces Beit Hillel of their opinion, and they come up with a solution to this problem because it creates a separate problem. But now we're saying, let's just assume that if a freed slave is chayav and a slave who's not freed is patur, then hakol comes to include a half. Okay, a guy who's half free, half slave, he must be chayav. But now we say, Ularavina Damar, Misha Chatio Eva Bechatio Ben Chorim Patur Min Ariya. But wait, but there's an Emorah who says, okay, now this is what I said. We have an Emorah now. An Emorah says something against this understanding of the Mishnah. According to this understanding of the Mishnah, The chetzi ben chorim would be chayav, because a kol comes to include him, which means he's chayav. If that's the case, we have a separate place where Ravino, who's an emora, comes and says explicitly that a chetzi is patur. So Ravina can't go against an explicit Mishnah, so it must be that's not the explanation of the Mishnah, or at least according to Ravina, it's not the explanation of the Mishnah, in which case they want to know, according to Ravina, who understands that Chetzi ben Chorin is Pater, against our understanding, Hakol Atuyemai, so what does Hakol come to include? So he gives it, the Gemara gives a different answer, La'atuye chigir b'yom rishon v'nit pashet b'yom sheni. This is talking about someone who had an issue with his leg on the first day, and maybe he had surgery and was fixed, or, right, in those days, I don't know if they did surgery, but he just got better, right? They gave him some medication. It got better. He was able to walk already on the second day. So in this case, what would you say? That guy is chayav, also in Re'iyah. So now they say, Hani chalamanda amar kulan tashlum in zelazeh. Just like we talked about the chagiga, it's also with the Re'iyah. If you say that if you didn't bring your Re'iyah on the first day, right, your obligation is every day, right? Kulam tashlum in zelazeh. Every day is a potential day where you could bring your korban. That makes sense then. Because then, if he's chigir b'yom rishon, he gets healed on the second day, then already the second day, a new obligation falls on the second day. This is like a classic question of a bar mitzvah boy, right? Or a bat mitzvah girl with, always comes up with Sfirat HaOmer. You have your bar bat mitzvah in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer. Is it considered one mitzvah? And if you miss the beginning, you can't say with a bracha, like the chiyuv, till the end, or do you say each day is kind of independent? So it's the same kind of issue here. Is each day have as an independent chiyuv? So if you say that, it works. Ela lamand amar, but for those who say kulan tashlumin derishon, if everything is a tashlumin for the first day, well then this guy was never obligated, so he shouldn't have to bring. So he should be patur. In which case, the chigir is not a good answer according to that opinion. And therefore, hakol la'atuyemai. So what does hakol come to include? La'atuye suma be'achat me'enav. Comes to include someone who's blind in one eye. Why? And here we get to what you talked about, the yira and yera. Udilo, now here, I didn't know whether they're really asking this as a question, or they're just saying, point out that if we're going to take this answer is not like, it doesn't go with the opinion of a particular Tana. Like, not all the Tanaim would agree with this opinion. So what's the opinion? Udilo ki hai Tana, it's not like this Tana, who appears in this Braita, Ditanya, it says in this Braita, Yochanan ben Dehavai, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Suma be'echat me'enav patur min hara'iyah, Shneamar yir'eh yira'eh. Okay, so now, what does he say? He says a suma in one of his eyes is patur. What did we just say a minute ago? Hakol, right? This word hakol comes to include suma be'echat me'enav, right? It comes to include meaning he's chayav, right? So a suma in be'echat me'enav would be chayav. But this guy says he's patur. Why does he say it's patur? Because he's joresh, the kri and the chtiv. The way the word is written and the way the word is pronounced. The way the word is pronounced, we have a masoret. It's based on this masoret that the word is yera'eh and not yira. So again, what's the difference? Yira is to see. Yera'eh is to be seen. So now what do they say? Kederech sheba lir'ot, kach ba lera'ot. Ma lir'ot b'shteinav, af lera'ot b'shteinav. How do you appear before God? God, okay, again, it's assuming God has two eyes, right? But God sees perfectly, so to speak, right? He comes to be seen by God, which is a perfect vision. If he doesn't have a perfect vision, then he can't be seen by God. In other words, there's no, you're putcher if you don't have perfect vision, because it's a vision-related obligation.
It's a very troublesome, though. First of all, you can see with one eye. Second of all, right. A lot of people wear glasses. I mean,
yes.
It's ridiculous.
Right, so it's tough to know. Yeah. First of all, it's tough to know what the situation was in those days with glasses and if they fixed. No, really. I mean, corrected vision would be different.
Perfect vision in one eye can see better than some, right.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a good question. I mean, in general, we're going to see. I think what's interesting is, you know, the whole relation to disabilities and how the Gemara looks at disabilities, and it's also, I think, somewhat different in their times than it would be if we were having this discussion today. As if we were learning these halachot out today, we might look at it very differently. Like you said, nowadays, people who can't see, generally we can correct their vision, and it's not an issue.
It's not only like vision. It's like anything that's not perfect in relation to perfect Hashem, you can't be there. So someone who's born with four fingers or a club foot, so any little thing.
Uh-huh. So you're not...
It's not only just, you know, if you extrapolate from the one eye, it's like any little imperfection.
It's like an imperfection type thing. That's interesting. And then maybe you're saying, if this is a chiyuv of re'iyah, of going to the Beit HaMikdash, If you think about the Kohanim, it's the whole thing, right? You can't go in if you're a Baal Mum. You can't, right? Maybe there's some issue here relating to imperfections, and if you have some imperfection. However, we're going to see that if you're a Chiresh, they can't hear, but you can speak, or speak but can't hear, you are obligated. And so imperfections, it's not clear that the issue is you have an imperfection. Here they really seem to view this obligation as a visual kind of thing. And because there's some pagam, there's some problem with your vision, even though you could see in one eye, again, it also makes sense that there's a machloket about it. Not everyone agreed with that approach. So the fact that you don't agree with it is okay because other people didn't agree with it. So really, it's people's perceptions and how they viewed. I'm sure it has a lot to do with how people view disabilities. And that's why I find it interesting, the whole discussion here, beginning about how, you know, if you talk about the tzedakah and the whole hijachasut to the other, it really comes up here very interestingly. Again, like I said, though, their discussions are going to be somewhat different from the way we'd have a discussion in a modern day time. Even, you know, the way people treat disabilities now is different than they did 50 years ago. So imagine how they treated them way back then. Okay, so that's his drasha. Okay. So now we're left with one possibility that is, right, we have three possibilities. Either it's a chetzi ovel, chetzi ben chorin, and then we have a problem with Ravina. Okay, according to Ravina's understanding. Or you say it's Chigir B'Yerushon, and then you have a problem with the ones who say Kulan Tashlum and L'Rishon. Or you say it's Asuma B'Chame Enav, and then it doesn't work out with this one Tanaitic opinion. V'Ibayit Ema, but you might say, let's go back, La'olam Keda Amar Meikar. Let's go back to the first one, the Chetzi Ovel and Chetzi Ben Chorin, and let's work it out with Ravina. Let's try to explain. U'dekakashel Achad Ravina Lo Kashya. Kan Ki Mishnah Rishona, Kan Ki Mishnah Achrona. Ravina, when he said his statement, he was talking about he read the Mishnah the way it was originally, but then there was a change in things, and that's the way our Mishnah goes. Hakol, to include, is the way we read it the second way. Okay, so let's see this for a minute. What's the Mishnah Rishonah? What's the Mishnah Achronah? And then we'll go back and explain. Ditznan, it says in the Mishnah. Okay, there's a Mishnah in, where's the Mishnah? In Eduyot. Okay? It comes up in other places also. Mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin oved et rabo yom achad veet atzmo yom achad devrei Beit Hillel. They try to figure out, what is this guy? What does he do? Right? He's got one master who freed him, one master who's still working for. How does he do it? So they say, very simple. Every other day you work. Okay? You work for that guy half the time. Amru lehem Beit Shammai takantem et rabo veet atzmo lo tikantem. This is a great solution for the master of this slave, because the master, right, let's say me and Tovit share a slave, okay? Tovit frees the slave and I don't. Well, now I'm stuck because this guy can't work for me because she freed him. What about me? I own this slave, right? I'm stuck. So Beit Hillel comes up with a good solution. The slave will work for me half time. So what does Beit Shammai say? Very smart. He says, it's very nice that you solved my problem, but you didn't solve the problem of this poor Eved. What's his problem? Lisa shifcha ino yachol. He can't marry a shifcha because he's not a... Okay, what's the issue? A slave is allowed to marry a shifcha. If he's free, he can't marry a shifcha. But if he's a slave, he also can't marry a full-fledged Jew. Once the slave... By the way, I didn't say this. We've learned this in the past. Once the slave is freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Okay? A non-Jewish slave gets a brit milah when he becomes a slave. He's a partial Jew sort of thing. When he gets freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Like a ger. So Lisa Shifcha eno yachol, but Chorin eno yachol. He can't marry a Shifcha because he's half free. He can't marry a free woman because he's half slave. So he's stuck. Libata, why don't you say, okay, well, just don't get married. V'halolo nivra ha'olam, ele l'piriyah rivya, sh'nemar lo tohu bura'a, l'shevet yitzara. Okay, pasuk from Yeshayahu, that the point of life is to have children. So how could you leave him like that? Elam, Ipnei Tikkun Olam says, what did Beit Shammai suggest? Because of Tikkun Olam, and Tikkun Olam is this category of, right, it might not be a lachik, but we have to solve an issue. Kofinit Rabo Va'osino Toben Chorim V'Koshtev Lo Shtar Al Chatzi Damav. What does he say? We force, okay, in that case I said, they would force me to free my slave. I make up a shtar with the Eved, and the shtar says, I owe you half my value. I'll pay you, because I shouldn't lose money on this, but I also have to lose my slave, basically. Okay, my slave can't work for me anymore. I get the value of the money, but I can't have him work as my slave in order to fix the slave. Bechazru Beit Hillel laharoke divrei Beit Shammai. And in the end, Beit Hillel agreed with Beit Shammai. So what do we have now? Let's go back. Ravina said, Chetzi Ovel, Chetzi Ben Chorin is pachur from Re'iyah, right? So what do we say? That was Mishnah Rishonah, before Beit Hillel changed their mind. Because this guy is still part slave. So he's free from Re'iyah because of his avdut. Then when they say HaKol Chayavim to include Misha Chetzer Eved V'Chetzer Ben Chorin, was it talking about the time after Beit Hillel agreed? In which case it's kind of strange, right? It's saying we include the Chetzer Eved V'Chetzer Ben Chorin is Chayav. Why is he Chayav? Because basically there isn't such a situation. He has to be freed, and then he becomes Chayav. That's their... It's not a perfect answer, right? But they're trying to figure out a way to make Ravina work out with this interpretation. Okay? Like I said, it's okay. It's not a perfect answer. Whenever... I always like to say this. Whenever there's a lot of different opinions, it's because there's no great answer. So here we see each answer has somewhat of a problem. We can't find a perfect answer, and I always say it's a good model for life because, in general, there aren't perfect answers for most things, and there's better questions than answers. Okay, next section. Now we're going to talk about the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan, which is going to continue into tomorrow. We'll at least get to a part of it, to today's part. Okay, so now they're going to say, what type of Cheresh are we talking about? There's three types of Cheshim. There's a Cheresh that doesn't speak and doesn't hear, right? Usually speech and hearing are connected. So there's a Cheresh that doesn't speak and doesn't hear. There's a Cheresh that speaks but doesn't hear. He's generally called a Cheresh. Then there's a Cheresh that doesn't talk but can hear. So that's generally called an Ilein. Okay, we're going to see that also in the Gemara. So there's two types of Cheshim, and there's one that's called an Ilein. They're all within the general category of Cheresh. So what do they say? Katane, the Mishnah, lists the Cheresh right next to the Shoteh V'Katan. So the Gemara makes an assumption that it's a Cheresh that's Dumiya de Shoteh V'Katan, that's similar to the Shoteh V'Katan. Ma Shoteh V'Katan de Lav B'nei De'a, a Cheresh de Lav Bar De'a. Okay, what type of Cheresh are we talking about? One that doesn't have intelligence. Okay, now they're going to try to figure out what does it mean, a Cheresh that has intelligence. How do we know if he has intelligence or not? The Kamash Malan Kiditznan, and it comes to teach us, like it says in the Mishnah, Cheresh Shedibru Chachamim Bechol Makom, when they talk about a Cheresh in general, She'eno Shomea Ve'eno Medaber. It's assuming it's someone who both can't hear and can't speak, because then we assume that he doesn't have intelligence. Ha medaber ve'eno shomea, shomea ve'eno medaber chayav. From here we can infer that if he has only one problem and not both problems, then he's chayav. Okay? So now, tanina lahadu tana rabbanan. Now we're going to say what we just explained now in the Mishnah, that assuming the Mishnah is talking about a cheresh that both can't speak and can't hear, that appears also in another braita. It supports the reading of this braita. This writer says it, Hamedaber ve'eno shomea, zehu cheresh. Okay, what's a cheresh? It's someone who can speak but can't hear. Okay, don't get caught up. This is why I said it before. It's a little confusing because the Gemara is using the word cheresh in two ways. There's the cheresh of our Mishnah, which is a cheresh that lo shomea, ve'lo medaber. And then there's another cheresh that they're talking about here, which is the cheresh that appears in the braita, which is lo shomea, aval medaber. Okay? Don't get confused. They're not using the word Cheresh here to prove anything. They're saying, let's see the content of this mission, and then we'll get to what it's proving. So what do they say here? In the Braita it says, someone who's medaber ve'eno shomea zeo Cheresh. This is what I call a Braita that comes to just define things. It's saying, a Cheresh is shomea ve'eno medaber. Is medaber ve'eno shomea. Shomea ve'eno medaber zehu ilein. Okay, that part wasn't yet relevant for our issues. This is just defining. Ilein, someone who can't speak. Cheresh is someone who can't hear. Zev is zev. This is the important line of the Braita for our purposes. Harehen kipikhin l'chol devrehem. These are both considered intelligent beings for everything. Okay, in which case, that supports our reading of the Mishnah. Again, it doesn't support the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah doesn't say anything. It just says Cheresh is patur. But our reading of the Gemara's reading of the Mishnah is that the Cheresh is only talking about someone who can't speak and can't hear, because, like we see in this braita, it already says they're pikhin l'chol d'Abraham if they only have one lakut. Now we're going to go off on a tangent. Where do we get to the etymology of these words? How do we know that a cheresh is someone who can't hear and an ilem is someone who can't speak? How do we know? Dichtiv. Vani kecheresh lo eshma uki ilem lo yiftach piv. Okay, here's a pasuk from Tehilim. It says, I am like a cheresh who can't hear, and I'm like an ilam who can't speak, who can't open his mouth. So exactly, it says it explicitly there. Ibait Ema, another option, and this is just for Elaine, but obviously if you know what Elaine is, then you can figure out what Chiresh is, that it's what we call Notrikon. Notrikon is, it's like an abbreviation, okay, but an abbreviation usually is Rashi Tevot, right, where you take the first letter of each word, but Notrikon is where you take a few letters from each word, you'll see in a second. Kida'amre Inshe in Aramaic, they actually say it's funny, the word Elaine is from the Aramaic, it's a Notrikon from the Aramaic. Ishtakil milule. His words were taken away from him. So you have the aleph from ishtakil, the lamed from the end of the word ishtakil, and the mem from the next one. And you get the word ilam. Okay, milule. Okay, so that's how you get ilam. That's how you know ilam is someone who can't speak. Okay. Now we're going to, that was, like I said, a side thing. Now we're going to get back into this issue of medaber veino shomea, shomea veino medaber chayav. Vehatanya, wait a minute. So until now we've shown, it seems clear that if you have only one issue, you're chayav. But now the Gemara is going to say, "V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, midaber ve'eno shomea, shomea ve'eno midaber patur?" So now again, what do we have? We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah just said cheresh without any explanation. The Gemara says cheresh must be right, both lakuyot, both disabilities. But now the Mishnah says, "But wait, the Gemara says, but that disagrees with a different braita." A different braita. First we said that supports a braita, but now they're saying there's a different braita. Now again, remember, in the time of the Tanaim, it's very likely that there were different opinions. The Gemara likes to kind of put everything together. So now they're going to say, but wait, it says in a braita, the medaber veino shomea, shomea veino medaber is patur. It doesn't say this explicitly, but obviously they're saying he's patur from the mitzvah of ru'iyah. Okay? So amaravina v'itemarava. Now we're going to have a totally different explanation of the Mishnah. When our Mishnah said, hakol chayavim b'ru'iyah, except for the cheresh, it didn't exactly say that. Let's see. Right? And then a kol comes to include the cheresh. They know Shomea that has one problem. Chisurim achasar v'hachi katane. There's words missing from our Mishnah. This is really the way you should read the Mishnah. Hakol chayavim b'ri'ya, just to stop for 1 minute and say something methodological. When the Gemara has an issue with a Mishnah, okay, it doesn't work out with what the Amorim are saying, so they have all different methods that they use. One of the methods is to say, right, sometimes they say, oh, the Mishnah is only talking about a particular case. Sometimes they say, there's another Tanaitic source, and we can just say there was a machloket about it. Sometimes they say, oh, we have to reread the Mishnah. It's missing some words. And really, it's talking about, now, sometimes you might say, oh, wow, that's out there. In this case, they're actually going to bring a braita that supports it, that says exactly the way they want to read our Mishnah. There was a braita that said that. So in which case, they have a little more strength to what they're saying, because there actually is a braita that, you know, existed again from the same time period that seems to indicate that. And again, because they passed it all down by memorization, sometimes it makes sense to say that there were words missing and things got cut off and there were mistakes. Chisur mechaser v'hachi katane. Hakol chayavim b'ri'ya u'besimcha. We add simcha into the Mishnah. Simcha didn't appear. Okay? We add simcha. Chutz mi'cheresh ha'medaber ve'eno shomea. Shomea ve'eno medaber shepatur min ha'ri'ya. Va'af al pi shepatur min ha'ri'ya chayav v'simcha. What was our problem? We have one braita that said he's chayav, one braita that said he was patur. And remember, the braita that said he was patur said it about ri'ya. The braita, the Mishnah, our Mishnah, which we want to read, again, it didn't say this explicitly, we want to read that it says that he's chayav, right? A kol chayavim to include the cheresh that has one issue. So now what do they say? Our Mishnah comes to include it, but not for Re'iyah. Because if you say it for Re'iyah, it contradicts that braita. It must be they say it for Simcha. Okay, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow to get to what's the difference between Simcha and Re'iyah, and why should it be patur from one and chayav and the other. So, keep you in suspense. But now, what do they say? Hakol chayavim b'ri'iyu b'simcha. So I'm going to just read this again. Chutz mi'cheresh ha'medaber ve'eno shomea, shomea ve'eno medaber shepatur min ha'ri'iyah. Va'af al-pi shepatur min ha'ri'iyah chayav b'simcha. And that's what they learn from the words. That's what they learn from the fact that the chutz mi'cheresh shoteh v'katan, the cheresh goes with the shoteh v'katan, that he doesn't have dat, eno medaber ve'eno shomea, just for simcha. But when it comes to ri'iyah, he's patur. Okay, so when it comes to simcha, he's chayav. Ve'et she'eino lo shomea v'lo medaber v'shoteh v'katan patur af min ha'simcha. So when it says cheresh shoteh v'katan or patur, then he's talking about someone who has two disabilities. He can't hear, he can't speak. He has no dat. He's patur even from simcha. Ho ilu p'turim, we call him a tzvot, ha'mru p'tura, because he's patur from everything. Tanya nami hachi. So now they're going to say we have a brayta that supports this, and with this we'll finish for today. Hakol chayavim b'ri'iyu b'simcha, chutz mi'chereish ha'medaber v'eino shomea. Shomea v'eino medaber, she'p'turim min ha'ri'iyah. Here we have it explicitly. Okay, those guys who are half, right, they have one problem, they're p'turim from ri'iyah. Ba'af ha'pisha p'tur min ha'ri'iyah, chayav b'simcha. Okay, but even though they're p'tur from ri'iyah, they are chayav in simcha. Ve'et she'eino lo shomea v'lo medaber, v'shoteve katan, p'turim ach min ha'simcha, ho'il p'turim mikol ha'mitzvot ha'mura p'torah. Okay, so that's exactly how we read the Mishnah. So basically what they're doing is they're bringing a braita that supports our new reading of the Mishnah. And this new reading of the Mishnah comes to deal with our issue that, again, we had our Mishnah we were trying to explain, that a chereish that had one issue and not the other issue was chayav and re'iyah, versus the braita that said a chereish that had one issue is patur from re'iyah. So in the end we say the chereish who has one issue is patur b'chlal from re'iyah, even according to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, even though it only mentions re'iyah, it really is talking about re'iyah and simcha. And then it's saying that he's patur, that he's chayav in simcha, even though he's patur from re'iyah. Okay? And only the chereish eino shomea ve'eino medaber is patur from both, because he's patur from all mitzvot amura p'torah. A bit of a problem with this is that our Mishnah really only talks about re'iyah, and when it ends, it compares, what's the ending of our Mishnah, the Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, about re'iyah and chagiga. So where I started in the beginning, there's re'iyah, there's chagiga, there's simcha. Our Mishnah now, I said we're really starting with re'iyah, but in the end, the Mishnah, according to this interpretation, relates to both re'iyah, both chagiga, and to simcha. It's on the one hand, it's definitely difficult according to the pshat of our Mishnah. However, the fact that they have a brayta to support it, I think, gives this answer more credence.